Chapter 4.
After a long mission force hibernating in the cold, cramped cockpit of a Stealth X, what Jaina wanted was a hot Santa steam and a Nerf steak as large as her plate. What she got, as she passed the fastidious officers on the command deck of the Admiral Ackbar, were sudden glances and, sometimes, wrinkled noses. She was still wearing the same black flight suit in which she had spent the last week, and the climate-controlled warmth of the Star Destroyer was doing nothing to mask the fact. Jaina stopped at the edge of the tactical salon and waited for Admiral Boitu to free himself. After a decade of off-and-on service in Rogue and various other X-Wing squadrons, it was hard to avoid saluting or reporting her arrival in a clear, sharp voice. But she was no longer in the military. She had been discharged for refusing to obey Jason's order to fire on a fleeing blockade runner, and Jedi Knights seldom needed to announce themselves. The tactical holodisplay in the center of the salon suggested that the Corellian situation had not changed during her week at the observation post. Fleets enforcing the Alliance exclusionary zone still surrounded Centerpoint Station and all five of Corell's habitable planets, and the Kyrus asteroid cluster continued to glow in faint, cautionary yellow. The location of Boitu's ambush fleet, lying in wait 3 light-years from the edge of the system, was indicated by a simple blue arrow and a distance marker. Were the situation to remain static for another year, the two sides might actually have time to work out their differences. But the galaxy was not going to be that lucky. There were too many schemes underway, too many factors on a collision course, and Jaina was about to bring another big complication into play. When High Command learned that the Corellians were in contact with Hapes, one of the Alliance's most supportive member states, spies would be tasked to investigate and diplomats sent to make inquiries. Forces would be mobilized and assets moved into position, and the war would grow that much harder to stop. Jaina did not even want to consider what might happen if High Command heard that her parents were involved. There would be a lot of unjustified concern, perhaps even panic. Scouts would be dispatched to locate them, and a task force assigned to capture, perhaps even destroy, the Millennium Falcon. That possibility had run through her mind over and over during the long journey back from the Kyruses, reinforcing the notion that her report might not need to include certain things. Jaina looked from the holodisplay to a niche high on the salon's back wall, where a larmelstone bust of the great Admiral Ackbar kept watch over his namesake. She knew enough about the political instincts of Bothans to realize Boitu was only displaying the statue to curry favor with the Alliance's new Mon Calamari Supreme Commander, Chani Othel. But the effigy struck her as deeply ironic. Ackbar had been a firm believer in the benevolent power of a united galaxy, and no one could be more disturbed to see the Galactic Alliance going to war against one of its own member states than he would have been. The trouble was, Jaina just did not see how Omis could have avoided it. Thrakken Sal Solo and his cohorts had been trying to bring Centerpoint Station back online, and they had been building a secret invasion fleet in the Kyrus asteroid cluster. Clearly, Corellia had been preparing to attack someone, and the inability to discover the intended target did not excuse the Alliance from its duty to intervene. Jaina sensed Boitu approaching and turned her attention in the Admiral's direction. With small, burning eyes and graying chin fur, the Bothan cut a feral and surprisingly dignified figure in his white uniform.
"A reminder,"
Boitu said in his gritty voice. Jaina frowned in bafflement.
"Sir?"
Boitu pointed a finger at the bust of Admiral Ackbar.
"The statue,"
he said.
"It has nothing to do with Admiral Neothel, as you were thinking. It's there to keep me humble."
Jaina was too surprised to ask Boitu exactly how he knew what she had been thinking. Perhaps that was what everyone thought when they saw the statue. Or perhaps he was just that good at reading faces.
"Humble?" she asked. "How is that, sir?"
The fur rose along the back of Boitu's neck.
"Jedi can't possibly be that poorly informed. I was the laughingstock of the entire Space Navy over the incident in the Murgo Choke."
"Not the entire Space Navy, sir," Jaina said. "During the recent peacekeeping operations in the unknown regions, the Akbar had been captured by a swarm of Killik commandos, smuggled aboard in busts of Admiral Boitu himself."
"I'm pretty sure Admiral Pelion didn't find it at all funny."
Boitu's ears came forward. Then he seemed to recognize the humor in Jaina's tone and snorted in approval.
"No, he didn't," Boitu said. "As a matter of fact, I'm surprised the old battle can let me keep my command."
"The Killiks certainly wished he hadn't," Jaina said.
Boitu studied her with narrowed eyes, no doubt wondering whether there remained enough joiner in Jaina to wish that the Killiks had prevailed in their war against the Chiss.
"What I'm trying to say is that your performance after the Akbar's capture was brilliant," Jaina clarified. "Nobody else could have stopped those nest ships in the Murgo Choke."
Boitu's expression grew pleased.
"Probably not. No one else would have moved so quickly to exploit the enemy's uncertainty, especially in the face of such overwhelming—"
The Admiral stopped and glanced up at Akbar's bust, then flattened his ears in embarrassment.
"Well, I was taking a substantial risk. But that can't be the reason you need to see me. What's this about a transport leaving the system?"
Jaina swallowed, then stepped close enough to speak in a hushed voice.
"It was bound for the Hapes Consortium, sir."
"The Consortium?"
The fur on Boitu's brow pulled forward.
"You're sure?"
She nodded.
"Very sure. The accuracy of the intercepts is beyond doubt."
"Well, how alarming."
Boitu avoided asking any specifics about the intercept method. StealthX eavesdropping technology was highly classified, and there were too many years without the proper clearance to discuss the matter in the TAC cell.
"The Hapes Consortium is a big gob of space. Were you able to determine which planet?"
Jaina shook her head.
"I'm afraid not. The transitory mists make Hape and hyperspace lanes too tangled to tell. But Hapes is definitely the direction that the vessel was headed."
"I see."
Boitu fell silent for a moment, his gaze growing distant and thoughtful.
"So the Corellians are hoping to draw the Hapens into the war on their side."
"That's very hard to believe, Admiral,"
Jaina said. It was the obvious conclusion, but given who was involved, it just didn't make sense.
"We might want to consider alternative explanations."
"I already have, Jedi Solo."
Boitu studied Jaina carefully, his eyes slowly growing beady and suspicious.
"This one is a near certainty. Naval intelligence reports that both Nal Hutta and Bathawi have refused to ally, at least openly, against the Galactic Alliance. And Corellia knows she can't defeat us alone."
"They may be desperate, Admiral, but they're not fools."
Jaina had grown up in a household where heads of state and supreme commanders were everyday guests. But there was something penetrating in Boitu's gaze that made her feel exposed and uneasy.
"The Galactic Alliance has Tenel Ka's full support, and the Corellians know it. She's sent us two full battle fleets."
Boitu's look of suspicion changed to one of disappointment.
"I didn't say they were going to meet the Queen Mother, Jedi Solo."
Jaina frowned, digesting his remark for a moment, then asked,
"You think Corellia intends to overthrow Tenel Ka?"
"I think Corellia intends to help," Boitu corrected. "The Queen Mother's support of the Alliance is unpopular among her nobles, so I'm sure they have their pick of potential usurpers.
No. Jaina's stomach knotted with outrage, with the refusal to believe her parents could betray such a good friend. That just doesn't make sense. Boitu studied her with a cocked head for a moment, then asked,
"Exactly what doesn't make sense, Jedi Solo? There's something you're not telling me."
"What makes you say that, sir?" Jaina knew as soon as she had spoken it that it was the wrong question to ask. Bothans were renowned throughout the galaxy as masters of treachery, and that meant seeing through lies as well as telling them. "I mean, I have good reason to believe that's not what the Corellians are intending." Boitu looked at her expectantly. "I'm only sorry that I'm not at liberty to reveal it," she said. "It's, a secret of the Order."
"I see."
Boitu tugged at his graying fur, then turned away and motioned for Jaina to follow.
"Come with me, young woman."
Jaina gulped and did as she was ordered. Boitu led her into his private office at the rear of the tactical salon. Like everything else aboard his Star Destroyer, the cabin was austere and tidy, with another bust of Admiral Ackbar sitting on one corner of his desk. There were half a dozen sturdy plastoid chairs in front of the desk and a pair of gray couches in one corner. But Boitu did not invite Jaina to sit on any of the furniture. Instead, he opaqued the transparasteel wall that separated the cabin from the salon, then turned to face her.
"The transport was the Millennium Falcon."
The Admiral stated this as fact, not question.
"Jedi aren't technically under my command, so I won't bother ordering you to answer me. But you should know that this is what I assume."
Jaina's heart fell. Her parents were about to have a pair of very big targets drawn on their backs. "The exact identity of the vessel didn't seem relevant at the time." Boitu's voice grew sharp.
"Obviously it was. You don't believe Han and Leia Solo would betray your friend."
"I know they wouldn't," Jaina insisted.
"You would have a better idea of that than I, of course."
Boitu's reaction was surprising in its mildness.
"But the fact remains that they're on their way to the Hapes Consortium, and this is a very crucial moment for Corellia. We must at least consider the possibility."
He laid a furry hand on Jaina's shoulder, then continued in a voice as gentle as it was raspy.
"I want you to take a moment and think this over very carefully. I'll believe whatever you tell me. But please remember that the lives of your parents are only two of the many billions that may depend on your accuracy."
"I'm aware of that, Admiral," Jaina said. "But thank you for the reminder." As much as Jaina wanted to leap to her parents' defense again, she forced herself to do as Boitu asked. The truth was, Jaina had no idea how her mother and father might be reacting to the change in Jason. At one time, her mother had vowed never to have children, because one of them might grow up to become another Darth Vader. With the Holonews reporting that Jason had imprisoned hundreds of thousands of Corellians, her parents might well have decided that Leia's old fears were justified. But Jaina had not felt any hint of guilt when her mother touched her through the Force earlier. And had the Solos been planning to betray Tenel Ka, she believed she would have. Besides, her parents had always been loyal to their friends, especially friends who were loyal to them, and she could not see that changing now. Finally, Jaina sighed and shook her head. "I know it looks bad, but I just don't think they would do something like that.
Boitu stared into her eyes.
You are sure?
It's what I believe, Admiral. That's the best I can do.
Jaina looked away.
Given what a monster my brother is becoming, I don't think I can be sure of what anyone is capable of.
Boitu's lip curled at the mention of her brother.
Yes. Your brother is driving dissenters into the enemy camp even faster than he is killing them.
Jaina raised her brow in surprise. The Admiral winced visibly, then waved the comment off with a flip of his hand.
Waste no time fretting over my loyalty, he said. I swore a vow of Krevi the day I became a fleet admiral. Even when Bathawi finally enters the war, I'll continue to serve the Galactic Alliance.
When Bathawi enters the war?
Jaina asked.
Not if?
When,
Boitu confirmed.
My people prefer treachery to war, but we do occasionally let outrage dictate our actions.
Jaina frowned.
What are you talking about?
A gleam of understanding came to Boitu's eyes.
I'm sorry. You wouldn't have heard. Your brother has started assassinating Bothans.
Assassinating Bothans?
Jaina gasped.
Jason isn't that stupid.
No, but he does protect his assets,
Boitu said.
The world brain is near death because of a recent attack, and it is Jason's best means of tracking Corellian terrorists through the Undercity.
Jaina frowned. She was hardly surprised to learn that her brother was employing the world brain as a spy, but she was shocked to hear Boitu talking as though they had discussed the matter personally.
I can't imagine Jason sharing that information with the military.
He didn't,
Boitu said.
So your sources are...
Accurate,
Boitu replied.
That's all you need to know.
Okay,
Jaina said slowly.
And these sources think the Bothans are the ones who attacked the world brain? The true victory party?
No.
Boitu hesitated, then said,
According to my sources, the true victory party can't even find it. But Jason believes that Remwa ordered the attack. And so my species is becoming an endangered one on Coruscant.
Jaina's stomach grew hollow and queasy. This was one more force pushing the galaxy closer to war, and, as usual, her brother was in the middle of it.
I don't see how your informants can know what Jason believes, Jaina said, still probing for the source of his intelligence. I have the Force, and I'm his twin sister, and even I couldn't tell you what he believes.
You aren't a Bothan, Jedi Solo.
Jaina raised her brow.
So your sources are inside the True Victory Party?
Boitu looked away for a moment, obviously debating how much to tell her.
You asked me for an honest answer.
Jaina sent him a little force nudge.
And I gave it to you.
Boitu nodded.
Very well. We both have divided loyalties here, so we'll just have to trust each other.
He waited for an affirming nod from Jaina, then continued,
For some time now, the Bothan government has been asking me to resign my commission and return home. The intelligence regarding the assassinations is their latest attempt to persuade me.
They have a source inside GAG?
Jaina gasped.
I don't know the nature of their intelligence,
Boitu replied carefully.
Only that it is proven accurate so far.
That doesn't mean you should believe their denial, Jaina said. I mean, the Bothan government has a vested interest in convincing you that the attack on the world brain wasn't Bothan.
True. But there is other evidence,
Boitu replied.
Had true victory been behind the attack, It would not have failed.
Jaina chose to ignore his species conceit for the moment and treat the statement as fact.
Okay. If Bothans weren't responsible, who was?
My guess is Corellian terrorists. If the World Brain has been helping Jason track them, then they're the ones who have the most to gain by killing it.
Boitu retreated toward his desk, then clasped his hands behind his back and stared at the galactic vidmap hanging on his wall.
But that's hardly our concern at the moment. Whatever your parents are doing in Hapen space, their trip has something to do with a coup attempt. Perhaps they are only going to warn Tenel Ka about the consequences of supporting the Alliance.
You mean to threaten her?
A threat is a warning,
Boitu replied.
At the moment, that is what we must assume. It's really Corellia's only hope.
Which means the Corellians aren't going to send the Kyrus fleet against our blockade,
Jaina said, guessing Boitu already realized this.
They'll use it to support the Hapen coup.
Exactly,
Boitu replied.
My fleet is badly out of position.
So you'll reposition?
I'll certainly suggest it to Admiral Neothel,
Boitu said.
But she's a very domineering fish. She's laid a trap for the Corellians, and she won't abandon it easily.
So? Jaina asked. You're going to move anyway, right?
And disregard my crevy?
Boitu sneered at her, as though she had just suggested cheating at Dejeric.
Who do you think I am, your father?
Sorry, Jaina said, taken aback by his harsh tone. I didn't mean anything by it. But there's something else you should know. When the Falcon departed, my mother sensed my presence. She must know the Jedi are watching the Kyruses.
I see.
Boitu grew thoughtful.
Do you think she would tell your father?
We have to assume that,
Jaina said.
And we must also assume he'll tell the Corellians that we know about their secret fleet.
Boitu's expression grew pensive.
And yet we can't be certain. This does add an interesting twist to the problem.
That's an understatement, Jaina said. But now you'll have to move the fleet.
Boitu frowned at her.
Haven't you been listening? Admiral Neothel's mind is made up.
But when she hears...
She isn't going to change her plans because of a few feelings between a mother and daughter,
Boitu said.
She'll dismiss it as soft intelligence.
Then what are you going to do?
I don't know yet.
Boitu wrinkled his muzzle and returned his gaze to the galactic vidmap on his wall. His voice assumed an absent-minded tone.
How interesting.
When he did not elaborate, Jaina went to his side and stared up at the vidmap. It was a standard galactic projection, with the luminous white cloud of the deep core near the center of the upper frame, and the unknown regions not shown at all. Corellia was a small dot on the opposite side of the deep core from Coruscant, forming a large triangle of space with Bathawi and Nal Hutta.
It looks more frightening to me than interesting, Jaina said. If you're right about Bathawi joining Corellia, it won't be long before Nal Hutta follows. The rebels will control a quarter of the galaxy.
Not that.
Boitu pointed a finger at Duro, which was located just beyond Corellia on the Corellian trade spine.
It appears that Chief Omis's fears were rather well justified.
Jaina scowled, still not understanding.
I'm happy to hear that, but...
The mines!
Boitu tapped a control key below the display, and the map zoomed in until it showed only the Corellian system. He pointed at a tiny yellow blip near the outer edge of the system.
In a few weeks, the Cirruses will be in a direct line between Duro and the Corellian Star. With all that electromagnetic blast in the background, it would be impossible for the Duros to detect the launch of the Cirrus fleet.
Jaina's jaw dropped. Salsola was going to attack Duro?
The timing is certainly right, Poitou said. And Duro still has large deposits of baradium and cortosis.
Jaina did not know whether to be sickened or relieved. As the primary component of explosives ranging from thermal detonators to proton bombs, baradium had become the commodity of choice among the galaxy's ever-growing number of arms smugglers, and woven cortosis fibers could be used to short-circuit lightsaber blades.
Well, at least Chief Omis and Uncle Luke can stop double-guessing themselves about the blockade, Jaina said. The last thing the galaxy needs is someone dumping a million tons of baradium into the black market.
Or to start selling lightsaber-proof armor, Boitou added. But that's not our concern at that moment. Someone needs to warn the Queen Mother about the situation, and we can't trust this to a holocom. Even if the signal isn't intercepted, we can't be sure the message will reach Tenel Ka without passing through the wrong hands first. The consortium is a real Pflüger bed of intrigue.
I can reach out to her through the Force, Jaina said. That will give her some warning.
A specific warning?
Jaina shook her head.
She'll know there is danger, but not from where.
Then someone needs to see her in person,
Boitou said.
So you're sending me?
Jaina asked.
I'm asking you, Boitou corrected. You're a Jedi, remember?
Of course, Jaina said. I mean, I'll be happy to go.
Good.
Boitou checked his chrono, then said,
And I think you should pick up Zek on the way. This isn't the sort of thing we should take chances with. I'll ask Lobaka and Tisar to go out early and take over the observation post.
Very good.
Jaina would need to carry some extra fuel for Zek's Stealth X, but it was doable, and it would give her a chance to figure out what the blazes her parents were doing.
Thank you.
No. Thank you, Boitou said. I'll send a message up the chain of command, too. But this will be faster. And maybe you can find a way to keep your family name out of this mess. I doubt anyone back on Coruscant would want Holonet news accusing Han and Leia Solo of running across the galaxy arranging coups.